And we can get into this more because we have Tim on now.
Yeah, we'll come back because Tim's got limited time. So let's get to him. So, Tim, we're talking about some of the big names that are not at the OTAs. And we're sort of having a philosophical discussion about how important these OTAs are and how it's evolved over time from the time that you and Derek were playing at the time with the new CBA. So, Tim, give us your alarm bells. Do any go off when you see guys like Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard and Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry all not there today?
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on what the communication has been with the team. But, you know, I think most of the time, like, the team wants guys there. You know, unless a guy's coming off an injury and they're like, hey, listen, like, you don't need to be here for that, or there's some other circumstances. I think ultimately, even when the guy isn't doing a lot, you want them around the new guys that are there, because those are the guys that you want, like, as the guys that are setting the tone of how to practice and what the expectations are and the speed of it. And so, yeah, I do think that it is different, as you said, from whatever, 15, 20 years ago. But it, at the same time, I think is important for guys to be there.
Now, Tim, we were discussing that, and it's hard to fall on one side or the other, and that's what I told Willie and Darren. I said, listen, I understand both sides. I understand why Vrabel wants the guys there, and I understand why guys choose to work outside of the building. Vrabel's thing is, listen, we only have really 4 weeks of all of this, and out of 4 weeks, 1 week is mandatory, and, you know, this is what y'all collective bargained. And all of a sudden, you know, I only get you 4 weeks and you don't even want to be here part-time, or you don't want to be here the first day of OTAs. I think that's what Vrabel has the problem with is, listen, you had all the way from mid-January to April to do nothing or just work out with your people. And then the first day, which is the first Monday of April, that we got to be back, which they were. Now it's May going into June. It's like you can't even be here. Like, what's up with that, guys?
Hey, and I do think it's the case here much more than other places where guys are in town.
Exactly.
Not everybody, but, you know, some of these places, like, hey, if you're in Buffalo, like, you know, the majority of the team oftentimes doesn't live there in the off season. But there are a lot of guys that stick around. There are a lot of guys that are here training. So that would also, I think, kind of make me raise my eyebrows a little bit to be like, fellas, like what are you doing?
Now, it's been speculated that, you know, Derrick Henry would be, this is sort of his holding out, but not holding out situation. How do you think if it is a holding out situation, does this work in favor of Derrick Henry? Because he's one of those guys that he's not going to say anything. He's not going to put it out so everybody can see it, but these little subtle things he may do. So does it work for him? And if it does, would it be beneficial for the Titans to extend his contract considering his workload and potential workload moving forward?
Listen, I'm not extending him. We kind of touched on this last week. He's making like $12 million this year, 12 and a half next year, you know, something around that. He's kind of on the top of the market of running backs. I think he's 28 now or 27, 28 now, which means, you know, in 2 years after you played him another $24 million, you know, he's about 30 years old. Like, we gave you the new deal. Like, that would be my position on it. Like, we gave you the new deal, and we didn't have to. Like, we were re-signing the quarterback, we put the franchise tag on you, but we reached an agreement. And, look, you've played great. We've paid you a lot of money. You've had some injuries. That's okay. We think you're going to be all right. Like, but that would be my position on it. Like, I'm not getting in the game of kicking this down the road a little bit where you're giving him more money now. I mean, I think part of the situation, you know, with A.J. Brown was, like, you're paying a lot of guys money. Like, I don't know that you're going to pay the running back more money. So is it going to work out for him? I just, like, if I were John Robinson, I would not pay him, you know, beyond what his current contract is.
I know your time is limited, so where your former team, where is this going with Daniel Snyder in Washington? Do you think that he's going to be out?
You know, I just think that there's too much talk about it, and then there's been, you know, in terms of, you know, reporting on frustration around the league in regards to him. I think, you know, some of the things in the culture that have been there, that have been uncovered, have certainly not been flattering. The fact that, you know, essentially his wife has taken over, you know, kind of the day-to-day control of the team, it just seems to be like a heck of a lot. And now throw into it, you know, the reporting yesterday, they just bought 100 acres and they might be, you know, looking for, you know, a new place to play, you know, south of D.C. There just seems to be a lot going on to navigate, and I would think that you've got to be pretty clever to navigate it all.
Yeah, interesting. Do you think ultimately, though, that we could?
I think some of these are situations are different, but you look at what happened in Carolina, seen what has happened in other sports as well. I do think that there is a chance. I do think that there will be pressure by other owners based on the reporting. The people that are reporting the stuff they're reporting are not doing that without some type of insight that stuff is going on. And I think if that's going on and you have, listen, all these guys are powerful, but then all of a sudden you combine, you know, 10 or 12 really powerful guys, that's hard to defend.
Going back to what we were just talking about with these OTAs and voluntary, why don't they get rid of voluntary, Tim? Either you're going to have it and they need to be there or you're not. I mean, why do the wink-wink? Why do the voluntary, but that really means we need you to be there? Why don't they get rid of that word?
Because guys don't want to go.
Then get rid of it. Get rid of it, you know? Bargain. To me, it's like, I don't know. It's like they're not willing to commit fully to, if the players don't want to be there, then just shouldn't they have been trying to put that in the CBA? Like, we just want to get rid of OTAs. I don't know if that's even possible, but I don't know what teams are doing.
They were saving it for the next round of negotiations.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Do you have to go do a TV hit?
I do. I got to jump on right now. I appreciate you guys squeezing me in.
Thank you. Tim Hasselbeck, every week. He's got to go do television.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have Mike Vrabel on the other side. Let's see what he said about today's OTAs. Who was there, who was not, what they accomplished. Tell you what, Robert Woods there. What does that mean for them moving forward? We'll see if we can hear what the head coach had to say on the other side here. DDC, ESPN 102.5, The Game, 106.3.